Before President Trump even took office, frankly, before he was elected, there was a sizable collection of Republicans who fell into the camp labeled Never Trumpers. So when the president-elect began his string of interviews at Mar-a-Lago, the names often weren't as familiar as we'd become used to in previous GOP-led administrations. And to many, that has affected the relative strength of his cabinet. Alex Nazarian of Yahoo News explores all of that in his new book, The Best People, Trump's Cabinet and the Siege on Washington, and he's with me via Skype to talk about that. Alex, how many of the initial challenges faced in choosing this cabinet had to do with the so-called Never Trumpers and the number of people who said they simply never wanted to work for this president?
Well, that's a very good question. And the fact that there was a large swath of the Republican establishment that would have nothing to do with the president-elect, of course, figured into the formation of the cabinet. But at the same time, we knew there was a Never Trump movement for months before the election. There was a Never Trump movement pretty much from the moment he rode down the escalator in 2015. And they never prepared, they never cultivated a group of policy experts who would be willing to work on the, in the cabinet. It's because they never thought they would win. They didn't think they would win, so they never bothered bringing with them people who would come to Washington if they did win. And so, of course, Washington was empty and remains empty in the sense that the federal bureaucracy is just not stocked with the kind of best people Trump promised to hire.
Now, would the administration argue with a spin that was their intention to not do traditional Washington?
They would, and they have, and they did to me. But it's clearly not in their best interest to have things running this way. For example, just think about the fact that we haven't had a Senate-confirmed defense secretary since Jim Mattis left. Trump has never had a confirmed immigrations and customs head. He's never had somebody at ICE who's Senate confirmed. He likes these acting deputies or acting secretaries because he says that gives him leverage, but that leverage comes at the expense of those people's expertise and their influence over their own staff. And it just kind of cultivates this feeling of chaos. Now, I know they like the chaos. Trump likes the chaos, but it doesn't serve him well.
When we consider some of the history of some of the best presidents and some of the better cabinets, I mean, even some presidents who've been criticized deeply, there are still some sort of standout cabinet members that are shining stars in a sense. Is it unfair to say that this administration really hasn't had any shining cabinet stars? I mean, maybe General Mattis, but of course he quit, so.
Look, I mean, Mattis is the primary person that you would go to for that. I think it's hard to think of anyone else who has really, I can't even think, frankly, of anyone who served Trump well, who has acted in Trump's best interests. I mean, look, let's be honest. Could a smart, determined Republican president have executed a hardline border agenda? Yes. Could it have been done without this incredible cruelty and incompetence that we're seeing? You could have done this same policy, which I personally don't agree with, millions of Americans don't agree with. You could have done it without these horrific images, these horrific reports. It just speaks to the incredible level of incompetence.
And how much cronyism has there been? I mean, in the past, we've seen some friends of the president or donors of the president get a cabinet position. Has it been even more obvious and obnoxious in this case?
Oh, it's been astonishing. And look, let's be clear. Every administration says there will be no room for lobbyists. Every administration breaks that promise the second they realize that lobbyists are often the people who understand how government works better than anyone else in the government. Obama had lobbyists. Clinton, Bush had lobbyists. They didn't have scandals every single day. They didn't have scandals of such astonishing magnitude. You thought you were reading about a third world kleptocracy instead of the greatest democracy in the world. That's the disconnect. It's not that he's the first president to have to face the fact that some of the people he hired were corrupt. He's the first one to have essentially a cabinet entirely formed of corrupt administrators. And that we've never had.
And so when you had a chance to talk with the president about his cabinet, generally, I don't know what you asked him, but in any way, did he indicate he was aware that these were not necessarily the best people, or does he say, no, these people were the best? You can, you're wrong.
Look, remember during the presidential campaign, during the primary, he went out there, I think it was at Mar-a-Lago, and he's standing there with his steaks and his vodka and his every other product. Like, this is the best. This is the best. Greatest vodka of all time. Greatest champagne of all time. And that's how he thinks. That's how he thinks. My honest sense was that he did not really know whom he was employing. That was my honest sense. So I appreciated that they gave me time with the president, but it was also clear that the president was only confirming what I suspected, which was that he had virtually no oversight of what was happening because he was so concerned with himself, right? Within just a few minutes, he was talking about Russia using a word that we can't say on public radio to describe the Mueller investigation. And he has said, he actually told Laura Ingraham of Fox News that I don't see why we need this many people. I am the sole decision maker. It's not that he's going to take responsibility for everything. It's just he's going to sort of be the main guy, the only guy. If that's your understanding of how Washington works, you do not understand Washington.
Alex Nazarian is the author of The Best People, Trump's Cabinet, and The Siege on Washington.